Late Night Conversations with Patricia Nduli, Monday to Thursday, 10 p.m. till midnight.
Good evening, Dr. Novikova. How are you doing this evening?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, Patricia?
Excellent, thank you. And we really appreciate taking your time to shed some light on hysterectomies. And before we even go further, I'd like us to find out more about the work that you do as a gynecologist and also an anesthetist and endoscopic surgeon.
Just in gynecology for many years. I come from Ukraine and I lived in South Africa for about 10 years. Various issues, okay. Their reproductive health. My practice, I have two practices actually, one in Johannesburg in Sandton area and in Cape Town in Gardens area. I've been in private practice for about 5 years, and my special interests are surgery in such a way that it causes least pain post procedure and the quickest recovery. And we can do hysterectomies. I also practice cosmetic gynecology. There are many women who, as they, all kinds of.
It seems we're having issues with our lines, Dr. Novikova.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask Ben to just evaluate what's going on. A-teamers, please do stay with us as we're going to be speaking about hysterectomies. And you can call in on 011-714-2006.
Late Night Conversations with Patricia Nduli, Monday to Thursday, 10 p.m. till midnight.
This is the Late Night Conversations. We are speaking closet conversations. My name is Patricia Nduli, and I'd like to remind all our sensitive listeners and anyone under the age of 18 that this time of the program is not suitable for you. So please do not be tuned in because we are speaking about sensitive issues. We're having issues with our lines a bit earlier on because of network connection issues, but we're all back up. Dr. Natalia Novikova is a gynecologist, and we are talking about hysterectomies. Thank you very much for coming back to us, Dr. Novikova.
Hello, yes, I'm back.
Excellent. So you were telling us about your background and the work that you do in gynecology.
Yes, I'm a medical doctor, gynecologist, working in Cape Town, in Gardens area, and I also have practice in Johannesburg in Sandton area. I'm based in Cape Town, that's where I live, and I come from Ukraine, as some of you might be curious about my accent. I've been in South Africa for about 10 years and worked in private practice in Cape Town for 5 years. I specialize in minimally invasive surgery and pelvic floor disorders such as incontinence, menopause, as well as cosmetic gynecology, which is quite a new field, an interesting field. I know you would have liked to speak about hysterectomies, and hysterectomies is very common. It's actually the most common procedure done for women, and 1 in 9 women would have a hysterectomy in their life. So it's something that we do quite commonly, and not just in South Africa, but actually all over the world.
I'd like to know what some of the conditions are that may require a hysterectomy.
Generally, women would have a hysterectomy because of abnormal bleeding, so very heavy menstrual periods and very painful menstrual periods that we would have treated with non-surgical options such as medications, non-hormonal medications, hormonal medications, and possibly smaller surgical options such as ablation procedure, and we failed those non-invasive procedures, and then we would proceed to a hysterectomy. Women with cancer would have a hysterectomy. It could be cancer of the uterus, of the ovaries, of the cervix. Endometriosis at times ends up in the hysterectomy, so it's another condition that is quite common and is associated with extremely painful periods. Sometimes women who have prolapse, so kind of falling out of their internal organs or sagging of pelvic floor, would choose to have a hysterectomy as part of their pelvic floor repair. Rarely I see women who choose to have a hysterectomy for no reason whatsoever, or maybe just for contraceptive reason. So they may not want to have children and may not want to have periods ever. And there are other options but hysterectomy for such women, but they decide to have a hysterectomy. And at times, kind of disabled women choose to have this procedure because of convenience of stopping periods and not falling pregnant.
Now, Dr. Novikova, when we're talking about some of these conditions, they seem like they are conditions that could impair on your day-to-day living, even on your sexual life as a woman.
Absolutely. It's not pleasant to bleed every day of the month or most days of the month, or have a lot of pain during your periods. The heavy bleeding can cause anemia and extreme tiredness. And other conditions such as prolapse will cause sexual pain as well as discomfort during intercourse. Endometriosis is also a condition that causes a lot of pain and pain during sex. So there is a lot of issues that women suffer from on day-to-day basis. And although hysterectomy is not cure for all of it, it is an excellent choice for some of those conditions for particular patients.
Mm. Now, let's talk about during the time where you have not yet been discovered that you could be a good candidate for a hysterectomy. What should a woman be doing, or where should a woman be going to seek assistance if they realize that they are extremely, experiencing extreme pain, or perhaps they are, having constant bleeding, or even during sex, things are just not working well? What should they be doing during that time before they get diagnosed?
Well, to start with, they could see their general practitioner to discuss their issues and get a referral to a gynecologist. Or if they have a gynecologist, they should see their specialist when they discover that they start experiencing problems, and get a full checkup. So they would have a history taken, an examination, they would have a pelvic ultrasound, potentially blood tests, pap smear, and whatever other tests are indicated for a particular condition. And the doctor would then explain what the diagnosis is and what are the treatment options are. And it could, as I mentioned before, it could be all kinds of treatments, could be hormonal, non-hormonal, surgical, non-surgical. And we would go through all of those and start, usually advised to start with simpler options, especially if we are not dealing with a cancer, and progress to a little bit more invasive ones if the simpler treatments don't work. And we, of course, would take into consideration what treatments women already had for their condition. So to start with, see a doctor, whatever doctor you can find, whatever appointment you can get. Of course, if it's a gynecological problem, ideally a gynecologist would be helpful. If you can't get to the gynecologist, then your general practitioner or family doctor who would direct you further.
Well, I'd like us to go to the lines. I've got Colin here. And A-teamers, let me remind you that you can also join in on the conversation. Ask your questions on 011-714-2006 or even WhatsApp 0614-104-107. We are talking to Dr. Natalia Novikova, who is a gynecologist, and we're talking about hysterectomies. Colin, good evening.
Good evening. Patricia?
Yes, Colin.
Your producer is so shocked I'm going to talk about this subject.
No, not at all. I mean,
men
have women in their lives. They've got mothers, sisters, aunts, and partners.
When I asked him, he said, Colin, I'm so shocked you're going to talk about women, KD, and all of that. Now, just correct him, please. Now, what I want to ask you, and your guest, Doctor, is there a law that if you have cerebral palsy, girls or even males, can a parent actually have them sterilized at a certain age? Because why I ask this question is that a friend of mine, when his daughter turned 18, 19, and he said no, and his wife said, we must have her sterilized, just in case something happens. Mm-hmm. No, man, a cerebral palsy. Now, I would like to know from your doctor, does she know, is a parent allowed to do that or not?
Thank you for the question, Colin. Let's allow Dr. Novikova to answer.
Thank you. It's a very good question. Yes, the parent or the guardian is allowed to choose for this person to have a sterilization. And if, for example, the same person would, this girl with a, or woman with a cerebral palsy, then developed heavy periods, the parents can choose for her to even have a hysterectomy if that's the only treatment we can subject her to for those heavy periods.
Mm. All right. So
because there is a lot of inconvenience with bleeding, falling pregnant when you are. You've got cerebral palsy or another severe disability where childbearing could be even life-threatening or extremely difficult and challenging.
Would even the public sector permit for this, for those who don't have access to private healthcare?
Yes, definitely. I worked in Eastern Cape in a couple of hospitals, and we definitely did those procedures.
Well, Doctor, let's talk about the prevalence. You mentioned that 9 out of a couple of women would have to have this procedure done on them. So is there an age where women should be looking out for some of the signs and symptoms of possibly considering to have a hysterectomy?
I think if you have no issues and you have no complaints and you're living happily, important thing is just to have your regular checkups, pap smears, mammograms, bone density after the age of 50, mammogram after the age of 40, and pap smear every few years from the age of 25 to older age. And that would be enough, and you don't need to have a hysterectomy for any reason if you are well. However, if you develop complaints and symptoms that are new and unusual, then you would have to see a doctor and look into your options of what treatments you can get for whatever condition it is.
Okay, so I'm getting a question from an A-teamer who's asking, Patricia, what is a hysterectomy? So perhaps, doctor, it's the time for you to explain this one.
Here you go. We're talking scientific terms without...
Yeah, and I'm taking for granted because I'm a woman and I know what the term is, but I'm sure there's a lot of other people asking themselves, what are they on about?
So hysterectomy is a surgical procedure to remove the womb, so to remove the uterus. And the outcome of that procedure is that woman will never have a period again, she'll never have a bleeding again, and she can't carry a child.
But this obviously is different from sterilization, correct?
It is very different to sterilization. Sterilization is a procedure where we tie or cut fallopian tubes. And the tubes are in between the uterus or womb and the ovary. So that procedure stops one falling pregnant. Sterilization is not reversible. However, many, many women who had sterilization would try to get it reversed because they meet a new partner, their life circumstances change, and they decide that they want to have another child. If you have a sterilization, the way to have a baby is to do an IVF procedure or in vitro fertilization. So you don't need tubes, you just get an egg from the woman, sperm from the man, put them in the uterus, put the embryo in the uterus, and that's how you get the baby if you had sterilization. However, if we remove the uterus, having a baby is not an option because there isn't a uterus anymore for baby to grow in. Unless we perform uterine transplant, which we don't do in South Africa.
Now, obviously, there's also different types of hysterectomies. Could you tell us about them?
Yes, there is three different ways of doing hysterectomy. One is a vaginal hysterectomy, where we perform the procedure without any cuts on the tummy, but through the vagina. It's definitely my favorite procedure ever. It allows the woman a quick recovery, and it's only possible for a certain size of the uterus. We can perform hysterectomy laparoscopically or with a keyhole surgery, where we make small cuts on the tummy, belly button and sides of the tummy, blow up the tummy with the gas to allow us to see inside and remove the uterus. Then the next option is a laparotomy, or having a bigger cut on the tummy, and we perform abdominal hysterectomy or same cut as a cesarean cut, for example, for women who have uteruses of a very large size or cancer or maybe a few other conditions which are not suitable for minimally invasive surgery such as vaginal or laparoscopic.
We are talking... Yeah, go ahead, doctor.
Yeah, so this is the types of hysterectomies in terms of how we perform them. And the other distinguishable features are removing the ovaries with the uterus or leaving them behind. And in majority of cases, we would only remove the uterus if the problem we are treating is in the uterus or in the cervix. And we would leave the ovaries because ovaries produce hormones. And hormones such as estrogen, progesterone will still be there even when the uterus is gone, and they're good for women.
I'm glad you spoke about hormones, because that's another thing that I wanted to come to. The fact that once you've had a hysterectomy, whether, you mentioned three different procedures, would the hormones be affected?
No. Only if we remove the ovaries together with the uterus, the hormones will be affected. But if we don't remove the ovaries, everything stays the same. So women may even feel cyclical changes every month, but they just won't have the bleeding.
And in terms of the sexual satisfaction, does that change after hysterectomy?
Not at all. Not at all. There have been multiple studies done on the subject. And in fact, many women would report that the sexual life has improved, because before hysterectomy, they bleed for 20 days out of 30, or they have pain, or they have some other discomforts. And if hysterectomy treats that condition, then the sex becomes better.
And for the men, so you know how there's always these myths and urban legends that once a woman has removed her womb, then, well, her vagina is going to be affected. It's going to be a gaping wall, hole, and it won't be satisfactory for the man. Is this true?
No, that's not true at all, because the uterus is kind of up in the tummy. It's not really part of sex, kind of. So penis goes into the vagina, all the nerves, clitoris, and tissue that is sensitive during sexual intercourse for women is not really related to the uterus. It's in the vagina, and more so on the external area, vulval area, where the clitoris is, and labia and vaginal opening. And removing uterus will not change that at all. And for men, the only real difference is that the cervix is not there because we remove it with the uterus most of the time, but it doesn't really change anything as long as vaginal length is the same as it was before. All remains the same, and we don't really operate on the vaginas when we remove the uterus. So it's just one organ gone, nothing happens to other organs.
Let's take a step back. You said the cervix is removed most of the time when you do this procedure, and the men might feel this. What would the difference be? Would it be less pleasurable, or what would the experience
be? So, cervix is a little ball that is it's like a neck of the womb, and some people might feel it in the vagina, but it doesn't add to pleasure. It's just there, and whether it's there or not, it won't change the actual pleasure.
Ah, it's just there. Let me go to a voice note from our A-teamers. Remember, A-teamers, join in on the conversation. We're talking about the removal of the womb in simple terms, but medically it's called a hysterectomy, and we are talking to Dr. Natalia Novikova, who's a gynecologist. The number to dial for WhatsApps is 0614 104 107, or you can call in on 011 714 2006.
Good evening, Patricia and the good doctor. I want to remain anonymous. I've got a question to ask. I was once married. My first wife used to go for her period for 3 days. And this second wife I have now, she's going 7 days. So I am always wondering, which is the normal way of the period of a woman? Thank you.
Can you take that for us, please, Dr. Novikova?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. 3 days is normal and 7 days is normal, but over 7 days is a prolonged period. So anything between 1 to 7 days would be a normal menstrual period. And there is ways to make it shorter.
Oh, tell us about those ways. The gents and the ladies are waiting to hear.
Well, it will be some type of hormonal treatment. So it will be a contraceptive pill or Mirena IUD or Kylena IUD, intrauterine contraceptive device, or a loop that contains progesterone, and that would stop the periods or make them shorter and lighter.
Okay, so gents and ladies, you've heard it. If you want those periods to be shorter and lighter, there are interventions medically, so see your gynecologist. I've got another question here from an anonymous who sent in a WhatsApp, who says, Patricia, my wife has done that procedure before. What transpired after the operation? Sex is painful. She's dry most of the time, and she avoids sex. What could be the cause? She is 54 years old. What can she do to make things back to normal?
Okay, thank you. I'll go with an assumption that possibly this woman has reached menopause, either because of hysterectomy and ovaries being removed, or sometimes we leave the ovaries behind but blood supply to the ovaries get disturbed with the surgery and women get into menopause. And in any case, the average age of menopause is 51. So we would presume that this woman is menopausal. And what happens is that estrogen levels drop. That leads to thinning of our skin everywhere, including the vaginal skin. And as the skin gets thinner, it becomes more sensitive, it's very dry, and intercourse becomes painful. As it becomes painful, women start avoiding it. And we certainly have treatments for this condition. We use vaginal estrogen to help to restore the vaginal skin and make it healthy and just how it was. And there is other options, non-invasive options such as laser treatments, radiofrequency treatments for vaginal atrophy. So this is a condition that we call vaginal atrophy or genitourinary syndrome of menopause in a scientific way. So she should see a gynecologist, and we can definitely help her.
Let's take a bit of a break. We'll be back. We're talking hysterectomies with Dr. Natalia Novikova, who's a gynecologist. And I'd like to hear from you, A-team, is 011-714-2006 or on WhatsApp 0614-104-107.
Late Night Conversations with Patricia Nduli.
We are talking to Dr. Natalia Novikova, who's a gynecologist, about her hysterectomies. On the line, I've got Joseph, who's an A-teamer. Good evening, Joseph. Good evening, Joseph.
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you, ma'am. Ma'am, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. I don't know if you could please ask your guest. If the removal of a womb, if I may say,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but I think in normal terms we say ureters stuff, yes. Does it have anything to do with the back of my side, like this maybe that I'm talking?
I didn't get your question. Does it have to do with what, Joseph?
My anus, sorry. Yes.
You as a man, does the removal of a woman's womb have anything to do with your anus?
No, not specifically as a man, but does it have to do with a woman's anus, then, let me say, my sister? Because I think those things are more like they are more related.
Okay, Joseph.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I...
Here, there, and everywhere. SAFM 107 FM in Kroonstad.
Joseph, thank you for your question. Doctor, I just can't. Doctor, maybe you can help me understand, because for me, Joseph's question, it put me on a tailspin, because I'm asking myself, Ben and Phineas are asking themselves, the anus and the womb, are they interlinked? Do they have anything to do with each other?
Not in a normal situation. It's only if there is a problem. No, they don't have anything to do with each other. So vagina is connected to the uterus. Anus is connected to the bowel. They're next to each other, but they're not interconnected.
So you say only if there's a problem. What sort of problems should we look out for?
No, you can't look out for it. If there is a fistula between the bowel and the vagina, then they will be interconnected. And fistula would develop, it's like a terrible condition from childbirth, from surgery, from cancer. So it's like quite bad.
Okay, so I've got a question here from an A-teamer. Joseph, thank you for your question. And I simply laughed because I just could not see the correlation. And according to doctor, clearly there isn't any unless there's really, really a condition there. Anonymous, who's in Maseru, says, I've recently started ARVs and isoniazid treatment for the prevention of latent pneumonia. So the problem is that they are now blocking my periods. Should I be worried?
It's quite common for women not to have periods on ARVs. Should you be worried? I think it requires just like a checkup and seeing what's going on with hormones and also working out how old you are, what's your plans for having children. Overall, no, it's not a worry, but we have to make sure you're not pregnant. There isn't any other conditions that are in place causing your periods to disappear. And we would then put it down to ARVs and advise to definitely to continue with ARVs.
Okay. I see someone else here on our WhatsApp is just laughing and saying, Patricia, we can't help it. Okay, I understand. Yeah, we understand. We understand. Joseph, we understand. Another question here says, I did a hysterectomy in 2019 and I feel pain on my pelvic. And if there's a lot of gas, it's even more painful. What is the cause of this?
I'm not sure it would be related to a hysterectomy. One would need an assessment to work out what the cause of pain. I'm just picking up on the gas and the pain, and that would be related most likely to something like irritable bowel syndrome or IBS, when there is a lot of bloating from eating food rich in gluten, or sometimes women feel bloated at a particular time of their cycle, closer to their period, because of hormonal changes, and that would be the cause of the pain. So actual gas and bloating causes pain. To treat it, we would advise potentially on dietary lifestyle changes, and if we excluded other problems that might be causing this condition.
Okay, so sometimes it's dietary issues that are causing this condition. Doc, I'd like us to look at, are there any risks associated to having this procedure?
Absolutely. Any surgical procedure has risks. And, as I tell my patients, even driving to the hospital to have a hysterectomy has a risk. You might have motor vehicle accident. But in terms of actual procedure, there are common risks such as infection. Bleeding is less common, but it is a risk. Risk of clots after the procedure. There is risk of anesthesia. There is a risk that you might develop new pain that you haven't had before surgery. So there is multiple risks, but overall it's a safe procedure. The risks would also depend on the health of the person. So someone who is, for example, obese or has obesity or diabetes or particular heart disease is definitely at a higher risk of complications from surgical procedure in comparison to a healthy person who does not have any comorbidities. Someone who had many surgeries before would be at higher risk of complications as well. So we would assess a risk of a hysterectomy for a particular person in individual manner and advise accordingly.
So Mzu says that guy Joseph made me laugh as well, because if your neighbor shifts to somewhere else, that doesn't affect you. Joseph, I think a lot of people on the A-team are really having a good evening because of you. Let's go to a voice note.
No, I think what a gentleman is trying to, the last caller was trying to find out, is whether when a woman's womb is removed, does it have any side effect? Because I have also been having that problem on my mind. My wife went through Caesar and had two children. So we are told normally when you deliver through Caesar, you have only three chances. So meaning the third chance, the womb may have to be sort of removed or blocked, something of that nature. So we were wondering, won't that removal of the womb or blocking of the tube or whatever have any side effect, wouldn't it develop into some kind of health problem in future? My name is Sector.
Thank you very much, Sector. Let's allow Dr. Novikova to respond to that. And I think it's two-layered. It's around the C-sections for the wife, and also then the removal of the womb after the said number.
Yes. So C-section, and I understand it's probably more of advice on sterilization or blocking the tubes so the wife doesn't fall pregnant again because of the potential risk of future cesarean sections. So if we are speaking about sterilization or blocking the tubes not to fall pregnant again, the risks of that procedure is at times women have heavier periods after sterilization. If we are talking about hysterectomy, we've discussed it. We usually perform hysterectomies for a reason, to treat whatever condition is there, and once so it's necessary, and we don't do it just because a woman wants to. It's usually to treat a condition, and once you treat the condition, it helps with the symptoms and she feels better. And we would take into account her risks of surgery and her benefits of this particular surgery and decide whether we should proceed or not. Would women have risks if she has a hysterectomy? Well, it depends, but it's difficult to answer in general. But for someone who has a big fibroid and a lot of bleeding and a lot of pain, we remove the uterus, we change their life. It becomes so much better.
Dr. Novikova, thank you so very much for joining us. It's already 2 minutes after midnight. We really appreciate your time. Could you give us contact details or even your website where our A-teamers would be able to reach you?
Absolutely. My website is drnovikova.coza. So it's just the way you hear it. N-O-V-I-K-O-V-A. That's my surname. My Instagram page is Dr. Natalia Novikova, and we also have a link to Gyne Taboos.
Excellent. We really appreciate your time. Thank you very much, Dr. Novikova.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun. Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah, I think Joseph made both our nights, didn't he?
Absolutely. Thank you, Joseph.
Thanks to Joseph, really. Thank you very much, Joseph. And thank you, Dr. Novikova. Looking forward to us speaking about a lot of other issues because you deal with many, many issues around the woman's reproductive health. And this is something we all need to be understanding. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Natalia Novikova, who's a gynecologist. Really had a good time, A-teamers. Thank you so very much for joining us. And please make sure that you continue to join us. We'll be back again from 10 p.m. until midnight. And remember, Sound Awake is going to come up at 3 a.m. until 5 a.m. with Mandla Shongwe. So please do tune in. From us, may goodness and grace lead you to the great heights of success.